Unity in the Christian Church. It was a challenge 2,000 years ago. It is a challenge today. But why does it matter? What is it? Why do we even attempt to strive after it? This past week was the Global Week of Christian Unity, in which congregations and denominations from across the world come together in a series of services throughout the week. Why do we strive for this, and what is it even that we are looking for? Well, Paul has some words to offer. The first thing we need to know about unity is that it is not uniformity. Paul writes of the body, how the eye is different from the foot and the ear is different from the hand. We are not created to all be the same. God's world is not created to all be the same. If we think of the tigers and giraffes and cheetahs that were mentioned by the children, these are marvelous, wondrous creations of God that are all different and all have their place. So unity is not uniformity, but certainly we lean that direction because uniformity can be easy. If we're all the same, we never have to fight, and well, supposedly, and we never have to have the moments of wanting to take each other back to the sister shop. We never have to sit down together and work out our differences and listen to each other and use I words to describe our feelings. We can just all be the same. And certainly it is human nature to want to belong. So we will seek out people who are like us, who think as we do, who act as we do, believe as we do, who value what we value, dress like we dress, etc. So part of being human is wanting to belong, and we will seek out people who are like us. That's okay. The problem is when we start running away from people who are not like us. If we look at the world around us and we look at the media headlines, certainly it can feel as though this world is dividing itself into bitter and bitter camps. Saying you are either with us or against us. You are not like us, so you're the enemy. You want to take everything away from me. I don't want to hear from you. That is a frightening place. And so uniformity, ironically, while it may seem to be easier, leads us only to that bitter and deeper division because we become more and more afraid of anyone who is not like us. So that is uniformity, but we are after unity. So if unity is not uniformity, what is it? Well, again, if we go to Paul's image of the body, unity is working together for a common purpose. So the fingernail and the spleen and the kneecap are all very different in their function in the body, but all have their role to play in keeping the body alive and healthy and functional, able to do that which it is called to do in the world, able to get on with its work, whatever that work is. And so if the church is the body of Christ, then so too are we called to be united in purpose, not uniform in our beliefs or appearance or language, but united in our purpose to serve God. Now, the irony of being Christian is that we all have different ideas about what it is to serve God. And the truth, of course, is that there are many parts to serving God, whether it is loving our neighbor as ourselves, whether it is worship and singing, whether it is working for justice. There are many ways of serving God. But the church must be united in order to be able to do God's work. So that is unity, working together for common purpose, and it is desirable in order to be able to serve God. We are the body of Christ, Paul tells us, therefore we must be united in purpose. Great. How do we get there? That's the hard part. That is the hard part. Being united sounds great. It's work. It's work because to be united is to be in relationship with one another. I think one of the great myths that we all fall into is that when things are good, they should be easy. Right? We have this myth of happily ever after, as though once you've been married, everything is smooth sailing from then on in. I've never been married, but I know people who are married, and I'm pretty sure that it takes a lot of work. Hopefully, it's not drudgery, right? But it requires listening. It requires admitting when we're wrong. And not just marriage, but any human relationship. Cohabitation with roommates. Going on family vacations with siblings. Clearing out our parents' basement with siblings. All of this is being in relationship. And being in relationship, being in healthy, functional relationship, is not to be the same, but to listen, to see the other as they are, to hear the other as they are. And so often in the church, we think that if we're going to be united, we all have to agree. Maybe. But the way we get to agreement is by listening to one another. The body of Christ is no different from our families. We will butt up against people who believe differently, who act differently, who sing too loudly in the pews and never get the minutes right at our committee meetings. But being the body of Christ means being in relationship with these people and learning to love them. Because that's what relationship does. We discover that this person who may seem different, who may think differently, act differently, is actually a beloved child of God with whom we can be in relationship, from whom we can learn, who may add value to our lives. That's what it is to be in relationship. And the history of the Christian church is one long, complicated family tree of disagreeing and then splitting, and then 100 years go by and we say, well, I guess we can make up our differences, and we reunite, and then later we split again. It goes on and on. So I don't want to give the impression that if we just sit together all and in a circle and talk about our feelings and hear each other, that that's going to fix every problem and there will never be any more pain. The United Methodist Church of the United States is about to split for the second time in its history. Sometimes there are issues that are just too painful and we cannot hear each other. And that is when we lean into the grace of God, who says, this is a long-term image. And my children, you may not be able to get along today, and that breaks my heart. But God is in it for the long haul, and God will still be around 100 years, 200 years later, when our churches are able to hear each other again. If we can stay in discomfort, if we can come together over points of disagreement instead of following the impulse to run away, if we can sit together and listen, if we can learn to see each other as children of God, then, my friends, then we can be united. Then we can see the beautiful role that each one of us plays in the body of Christ. Then we can go forward into this beautiful, broken world that is in so much need of healing and love. And then we can serve the Lord our God, loving our neighbor as ourselves. May it be so.